must have been last week, Wednesday. I had this dream. And in the dream, it was like a setting, like this, you know. And there were brethren from all the various fellowships within the UK. And before I entered into, you know, the setting, it appears as though there were some discussions that had already started, you know. And the discussion was actually centered around homosexuality. And within the congregation, people were airing their views, you know, and there were people I could identify that had really strong views about this issue of homosexuality. But to my surprise, the strong view was not against it, rather it was supporting it. It was like, how dare, you know, people kind of say things against those who decide to be homosexual, that people have the, you know, that liberty to decide what sexual orientation they want to be. And, you know, a few people were talking and it was like, yes, you know, in this day and age, you know, we shouldn't be judging people. It's God that judges. And if people have chosen that lifestyle, you know, what we should do is rather pray for them rather than us, you know, criticizing them. And in my mind, I was like, how did we even get here? You know, what brought about this conversation in the midst of the brethren? But above all, what really shocked me was the strong view of brethren in our midst saying, well, people, you know, we shouldn't have to get them. You know, it's their lifestyle and we should respect their lifestyle. And I was like, what are they saying? How can we be kind of, you know, supporting people who decide to choose, you know, that way of living? And I was really, you know, grieved in that dream. And I was saying to myself, oh Lord, I thought we all had the same understanding. I thought we have moved to at least a level of maturity that we should know that this is wrong, scripturally. You know, there's nothing like, you know, if we look at the scripture, and I was saying, but the scripture is clear about this. Why would anyone, not talk about me, brethren in this end time, want to accommodate homosexuality? You know, so in my mind I was like, oh my God, what should we do? And I was really praying and I said to myself, Lord, this really shows that we're not of one mind, we're not all at the same level, we're not all seeing the same way. And I woke up from that dream. And I really didn't know, you know, whether I should share it or not, although I shared it with my husband and I wrote it down. But last Sunday in church, where things went, I really didn't have the liberty to share. But as things were going on, I just thought I would share it. So I called Brother Kyrie and I told him and I was asked to share. So that was the dream, brethren. I leave it open to the brethren to the church.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I think, you know, listening to that dream, I think it just, there's a call on the church to pray against that spirit. I would like us to address it in that direction, but
before we pray, I would like to praise the Lord. First, please just bear with me. Hallelujah. And brethren, I don't know, I've been praying about this dream from the point of time she shared it. And I hear the Lord speaking. And the Lord is speaking about worldliness. The spirit of the world that has come into the church and is affecting the lifestyle of the people of God. You see, spirits want access. They want access into our soul. And Sodom is a spirit of uncleanness. It's a spirit of worldliness. It's a spirit of whoredom. And it is not peculiar to this place. It's an attack that the church is facing. Now, Christians believe that it is their prerogative to live
the way they like. The way they like. And it is the rule of self. And brethren, the cross of Jesus Christ is not a theory.
Amen.
It's not a doctrine that we preach. It's something that must begin to impact upon an individual.
Amen.
And, you know, my heart has been, you know, agitated and burdened and disturbed about this matter. You know, believe me, brethren, it's one thing to talk about, you know, end time, our doctrines and everything. But I believe that God, you know, the word that has been coming here has to do with a finality of decision. You know, and, you know, this point is where, believe me, brethren, judgment is about to come to the church. I tell you that, you can write it down, go and record it. The judgment of God is about to move into our churches, into our homes. We're going to see God in a way that we have not seen him before.
Yes.
God is not a toothless bulldog. Brethren, God is not a toothless bulldog. And the hour of judgment is at the door. The spirit of the world, you see, what are we talking about? There are images in our minds. I was talking with the young people during the camp meeting, the youth camp. You see, the standard, for instance, of life of Christians is dictated by the world. Dictated by the world. Our standard of beauty. I was talking to the young people. You know, when you look on Facebook, you know, normally when a person puts up a photograph, that's your ideal of beauty. Now, I'm trying to come down as real and as practical as possible. Your ideal of beauty. And when you take it, I was talking to young people, I said, the image they have is Beyonce. That is the image. And I'm not saying, what the Lord was telling us was, each person has to go to the Lord. And the Lord will give you your image. I don't know how best to explain that. Do you understand that? But, you know, something you are, that you are comfortable with, that you do not have to compare yourself with, do you understand? Somebody else. So that you can be yourself without feeling you are inferior to anybody. And you have the liberty to be simple and moderate in your lifestyle without feeling, do you understand, that there's something missing in your life.
Hallelujah.
And it's a lack of Christ within us that makes us feel that we have to be like the world to be good and okay. And then it's a penetration that spirit that, you know, the word by pure, if I were to translate it literally, it's a bit vulgar. Do you understand that? But it's a spirit that causes a breach. Do you understand? You know, and brings a penetration into the soul of people. Of course, begins to reproduce. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, I believe, brethren, that, you know, I have been doing a lot of reading of biography of people. You know, and sometimes I really wonder whether it's the same Christianity that we and they are practicing. And I want to encourage you here. There's a book, it's titled The Heavenly Man. You understand? You take it, go and read. And then assess your life. You know, Brother Martin was talking about, you know, this means that we're walking with God. And, brethren, this is a time that men are to walk with God.
Yes.
And to be like God. Do you look like God? Do I look like God? If somebody were to see me, what would be the first impression the person will get? Go to read men, Hudson Taylor. I'm talking about men who the cross has been working in their life. Cross is not theory. I happen to relate with people around me, and I see people who have been broken down. This worldly spirit that we wear like a cloak will break down. And brethren, godliness will manifest. Look, let me tell you, the first impression somebody sees about you defines your character. And brethren, we have to come to a point of being comfortable with Christ. must be comfortable with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, brethren, I believe that God is warning us. Because most of us are ruled by our opinions. Do you understand the point?
Mm-hmm.
I just make up my mind. This is the lifestyle I want to live. Christ has not broken us down.
Okay.
And brethren, that thing is just creeping in.
Okay.
Believe me, we're also dealing with physical homosexuality.
That's right.
In a short while, it will manifest.
Yeah.
In a very short while. You write it down also. When the Lord begins to speak, it's important that we discern.
Mm.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
It's very important because sometimes I need to feel the heartbeat of God.
Yeah.
We need to feel the heartbeat of God and the anger of God.
Mm.
The Bible says the anger of God is revealed against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness.
Oh.
And it's not dealing with people outside. It's dealing with, you know, because we know. The Bible said that we suppress the truth that we know by the life that we live.
Mm-hmm.
We make the truth ineffective.
Yes.
Oh,
the gospel cannot have power again because we are worldly.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you ministered to somebody
mm-hmm.
and he felt Christ coming out of you?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? When was the last time you actually witnessed to somebody and led him to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about, brethren? This thing has become, was almost becoming, you know, I don't know what to call it. But brethren, it is about the reality of Christ coming forth in our lives. There must be a return to simplicity.
Amen.
Pure simplicity.
Amen.
That's what this gospel is all about. Leave the sophistication aside and come back to the simplicity of Christ.
Amen.
It must express itself in our lives. Brethren, God is saying that the world, spirit of the world has entered into the church. And we are arguing. Do you understand the point? It's a free world. And this is a free world. But God is looking for born slaves. Looking people who have submitted their will unto the will of the Christ. And brethren, when God gets you, every part of you is affected. It includes your talking, your attitude. It includes your dressing, you know. It includes your makeup.
Mm.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Believe me, brethren, let's be frank and plain. Do you understand the point?
Yes.
When Christ comes into a man, it affects everything
yes.
about you. Everything. Unless he has not touched you.
Mm.
Unless he hasn't touched you. I've seen men and women, brethren I work with, and even up to the food they eat.
Mm.
Do you understand that? The Lord begins to point fingers at it.
Mm.
And he begins to change you. If a man wants to know the change, he will get change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a man, John chapter 4, the man who was at the Solomon's porch. He had been there for 38 years. One day he had an appointment with Jesus Christ. God remembered him. The Lord went to him. The man was here. All around him were men who were sick, impotent folks.
Mm.
A lot of the people of God are impotent.
Mm.
We do not have the ability to give life.
Mm.
We attend fellowship, but we have nothing to give.
Mm.
It's time to give life.
Yes.
This man was lying there for 38 years is significant. It was a number of years that the children of Israel wondered.
Yes. Yes.
They were wondering. That's how most of the life of people of God have been, wandering without a destination.
Mm.
And the Bible said that Jesus saw him, knew he had been there for a long time. You know what he asked him? I read from Amplified. He said, do you actually want to be healed?
Mm.
What kind of question was that to a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years and the Lord was asking him? And when the Lord asked you that kind of question, he tried to tell you something.
Mm.
This man had been there. He was, you know, say nobody, I have nobody to push me into the water. He said, do you actually, check your Amplified, do you actually want to be healed? And it's a question all of us must decide for ourselves.
Yes.
Do we want the Lord to change us, or are we comfortable with our last time? When brethren come to church, but they have made up their minds, this is how far I want to go. This is how far I want to go. Please, don't come near me. It's all over the church, all around us. These are brethren who say we are following the Lamb whithersoever he goes. God wants to touch everything. And it's not fellowship thing. Each person was going to his closet. And really honestly, because the issue was a question of honesty. Do you want me to change you? Or are you comfortable the way you are? That's God. Holiness has come. You know, I tell the brethren, I said, look, listen. God told me, and I share with the brethren, that he will judge this work in our children. That's where the judgment of the Lord will come in our children.
That's right.
I shared it with the brethren. I said, this is what the Lord told me. In our children. I told the brethren, I said, you know the Jews, if you have opportunity, when they go and peep into a synagogue and see the two children of this age sitting quietly and memorizing the Torah.
Oh, yes.
You say our children cannot listen. We are in church, they are running helter-skelter. They are sit down. They listen to the Torah, they keep memorizing it until they do their bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
They are the best behaved people around, you know that.
Yeah.
When you do drugs, they don't do it.
Yeah.
And we have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We have the Holy Ghost. It's time for each person to go home and take stock of this matter. Because when the Lord comes to judge, we'll not be able to stand before him. I want to know the Lord. Because sometimes things happen, I look around and say, God, I really, really don't know you. Because I read the story of the lives of men who walk with God. And I find that this is not a theory. These men actually walked with God. Some men sacrificed their marriages. You know what's in Taylor? City stored. How many years? 12 years. Husband and wife are separated for the gospel. For us, marriage has become a deity, an idol, an image. It defines our application to this work. We give the Lord reason. Say, Lord, I've bought a house, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. So men have laid down their lives and they will stand in judgment against us.
Yes.
I was talking with brother the other day and he was talking about the Queen of Sheba. You know how many miles she walked through the desert? Dangerous country to hear the word of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. She took a risk. She afflicted herself for this thing. It's time. It's time to take stock. Because I go. When the Lord begins to actually come down in the midst of his people, I don't know how many of us will be able to stand. But I don't want the Lord to judge me when it is late. There's a judgment that you can't do anything about it again.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a judgment that you have the opportunity to judge yourself now.
Yeah.
Brethren, homosexuality is coming. It's already amongst us. It's already in our children. Among brethren. I mean, in Nigeria, it's all over the place already. I'm talking about physical homosexuality, brethren. It's there! Some parents don't know. You know, I happen to relate with young people. You know, most of the parents don't know their children. That's the problem. We live in a false world. The children live in another world altogether. You know, during the camp, the youth camp in Port Harcourt, God moved in such a way that young people, you know, I would do like this, they would bring their laptops, they would bring in their phones, their tablets, their parents bought for them. You'll be horrified what is inside that laptop. For years you administer to them, you will just talk, they will just look at you like this. But God began to move. And I think we need God to move in our homes. We need God to move in our families. We need God to move in our fellowships. Men and women will break down. The children, they will start coming. Nobody forced them, nobody pushed them. They said, please, I know, and I'm not too good in computers. So I deleted one, said, go to the recycle bin and delete the one there too. I said, oh, there's recycle bin. I didn't know. You know, then I started hardcore pornographic movies.
Yeah.
They have it every day, your fellowship, they are like this. You think they are, you are with them. Nothing like that. But God began to move. And brethren, God is about to move again.
Yeah.
But you see, I want to tell you something. At a time when the issue of bad pure, when God came down, the elders, he wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
He took them and hung them.
Yes.
You understand the point? And brethren, we are all elders here. That includes parents too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be hung.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that, brethren? That's how rough God's judgment can be. You know, so I believe that God is just bringing a word to us. You know, we value our opinions too much. Because if you start, people just give their opinion. I think this, I think that, I think this, I agree with this, I don't agree with this.
Mm.
Who cares about your opinion?
Yeah.
I am nothing. My views mean nothing.
Yeah.
I need to find out what God is saying to me at this time.
Yeah.
I need to bow down. Because when God comes to judge, brethren, we have not known the judgment of God. You know, because we have been exposed to a distorted, you know, form of God. God is love. Do you understand that? This and that and that and that. You don't know God. Because there is the goodness of God and there is the severity of God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Brethren, let this time be a time of stock taking.
That's right.
This dream that has formed says every one of us should go home. Pray about your family. Do you understand that? Say, God, I want to know my children. Show me my children. I want to see them in the spirit. I was sharing. There was something I was sharing with the brethren. I think it was on Wednesday. Was it on Sunday? Something that transpired in Port Harcourt. It's a long story. Do you understand? But it's a how would I say it now? It's a tragedy. Because there was this brother. He had, you know, he's an elder. Very good Christian, well-known Christian, had a relationship with God, had only one child, a daughter. Now, this child was living a dual life. You know, she would, at home, she's good Christian girl, you understand? She dresses, wears, you understand, holy dress, and all that. Then when she goes out, she carries her bag, she's out of the house, she changes to the acceptable, you understand? That's the funky style. And she goes out, she has a boyfriend. Now, one day she left the house, told the parents, I'm going to see a friend. And she walked out of the house. She had an appointment with her boyfriend. There was a problem, she was pregnant. You know, and so they didn't know how to deal with the problem. But the boyfriend had another friend who was, I think it was a house officer. You know? And this happened in Port Harcourt. So he's a house officer, and so he suggested that they should terminate the pregnancy. So they fixed an appointment in this guy's house that day, and they went. And you know how these things happen. They were at it, something went wrong. And before their eyes, this girl died dead on that table. So it was on a Saturday, they were in shock, they didn't know what to do. They stayed there for hours. And then, you know, the devil now came with idea. And they got out, went into town, and bought shovels. And took this girl towards the airport, pure Port Harcourt, you understand, towards the Port Harcourt airport area at night. Dug a shallow grave and buried her. And came back. The problem was sorted out. Now, the parents of the girl waited for her to come back, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, nothing. And then life went back normal for everybody. But you see, God is great. Now, somewhere along the line, it was Passover. And this boy, the boyfriend, got born again. Now, he became born again. Now, not the kind of, you know, genuinely born again. The kind that God now put a finger on that matter. So he tried to shake off this thing, prayed in tongues, did everything, confessed it, that if a man be in Christ, all things are passed away, you know, and God just put his finger on that. So at a point in time, he could no longer sleep, he could no longer, you know, God just would not let him go. And he didn't know what to do. Eventually he called his pastor and said, look at this matter. Now, brethren, you know, the pastor happened to know the pastor of the other man. So they now got in touch with him. And eventually they talked and prayed and decided to go and meet this man. And they went and fixed an appointment with this man. So this man was at home with his wife. And his pastor, this other pastor, and this young man, who came into the house. And I was wondering what this visit was all about. Now they started their story.
You know how it is in Africa. You start going around and around and around and around, and then, you know, the man was wondering, what are they talking about? Until, you know, this young boy was lying on the floor. He was scratching the ground to dig a hole to bury himself in. He was weeping. Eventually, they got to the point, and the woman, she wailed. She wept. You know, this was their only child. She wept. She wept because she wouldn't see, could not see her daughter again. She wept because she didn't know her daughter. That she was living another life he did not know. He was blind, not discerning. And then she wept because her daughter had a problem and did not have the confidence to confide in her. The man got up, excused himself, and walked into the room. Now, I doffed my cat hat for him because he had a relationship with God. He did his weeping inside and, you know, asked God a few questions and got a word from the Lord. So when he came out, you know, when he went in, everybody was on edge. They didn't know whether he went to get the dog or, you know, our regular, you understand, available machine. So, but when the man came out, he had washed his face. And he walked over to the young man and said, I forgive you. On one condition. From now, you become my son. You know, that is, I want to be seeing you every day. I want to have a relationship with you. You know, that's Christ walking. Naturally, you say, I forgive you, but go to Lagos. In fact, go to Cameroon. Do you understand? So that I won't be seeing you again. But I would say that nothing has happened with him. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, and that's how a relationship developed between this boy and that family. You know? Now, brethren, what am I trying to say is that this thing, we are still scratching it. We are still scratching this thing, brethren. We have not allowed the Lord to touch us the way he actually wants to touch us. That is a touch that brings about a radical change. And the Lord is saying in this conference that this is the hour of decision.
Final.
What is your final answer to this question? And so, brethren, you know, when God begins to speak like this, it's a worrisome thing. It's a worrisome thing. There are things that, you know, we need to take sober stock of our life, our children. God is saying that there is worldliness. Hold on. Do you understand? In the midst of the people of God. There is hold on. Hallelujah. Now, that homosexual spirit is something that provokes God. You know, that God has an order. And the enemy, the devil, has been working hard to obliterate God's order. So men dress like women.
That's right.
Women dress like men. Men act like women. Women. Now, you may not understand, but you see, the enemy that is doing this in heart and in.
That's right.
That's why there's an attack on marriage too.
That's
because marriage represents an order, and something that God wants to express on the earth. And the devil is determined to distort it. He's determined to distort order between husband and wife in the home. That's why the spirit of Jezebel is a major, major issue. The devil is attacking. You see, God has a pattern in the heavens. He wants to express it on the earth.
That's right.
And the devil said that pattern will not be expressed on the earth. So that's why men will sleep with men.
That's right.
And women will sleep with women. That's why men will, you know, dress like women, and women will dress like men. Now, priesthood is about expressing the pattern of the heavens upon the earth.
That's right.
Gold must be for the things of gold. Silver for the things of silver.
Very clear.
God has an order.
And brethren, you must be an expression of that divine order. If you do not do it after due order, God will make a breach upon you. And brethren, the hour is at the door.
That's right.
I believe that God is giving a warning, brethren. I've seen God kill men before, and he will do it again. Do you understand the point? That if it's time, when you go back to the scripture, you will see the things that make God do certain things. Still the same God. You know he never changes. God doesn't get bigger, he doesn't get smaller. He's just God. And brethren, so it behoves us to take stock. Every one of us takes stock. If I'm a husband, I need to take stock. Am I expressing Christ? If I'm a wife, I need to take stock. Am I expressing the church? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a priest. I was telling the brethren, I have a friend. I don't know whether I see my friend now. But, you know, he was my friend until they now made him Ezigwe of Uguta. Now, if you understand,
praise the name of the Lord.
Now, Ezigwe is a title. They made him a king. Okay? Now, not one of these toy kings. Now, Uguta is one of the old. Uguta is after they trace their lineage from the Benin, you understand, kingdom. So anything that has an origin from Benin is not a toy. You understand? It has very strong spiritual foundations. Now, what happens is that the moment they made him Ezigwe, Ezigwe means King of Heaven. That's the title. He dropped his name. His name, forever and ever, that his natural name is obliterated, is gone. The nearest you can see it is letterhead, formerly known as Shinedu Zeribe. You understand? That was his name. That name is gone permanently. And between me and him, we're no longer in the same frequency. Permanently. He can't eat in the same room with me anymore. I can't even shake hands with him. Now, if I probably want to shake hands, he has this ivory staff that he brings out. That is the nearest I can touch him. When he's walking on the road, somebody has to go and clear the road. I'm not supposed to meet him like this on the road. And when he sometimes when he paints the face with white chalk and all that, pray, let me tell you something. Makeup is not toy. Let me touch the road. Makeup is not toy. It's not just something you put on your face.
No.
Now, makeup is used usually, you're dealing with sorcery, warfare, and seduction.
That's it.
Are we together, brethren?
Yes.
Mario, if I offend you, please just bear with me. These are the three, and each of them have spiritual influences.
Yes.
The power of imagery is something that the devil understands and uses very well. When a priest wants to go and divine, he rubs. Do you understand the point? Here and here. You think he's joking? The devil does not joke.
That's right.
Anything he does, there is a spiritual principle behind it.
Symbolism.
There's a reality behind it. Praise the name of the Lord. There is a reality behind it. When men go to battle, they put war paint on their faces. Do you understand that? It is no joke. When the Druids, when they want to go to war, they put this paint on their faces. Now, there is a spiritual significance behind it. The third group is prostitutes. When they want to go to business, they put it on their faces. Do you understand that? Now, I want us to understand this thing. There are, you know, a woman, there's a natural, you know, inclination her to beautify herself, which is good, right and proper. But everything has limitations. Do you understand that? Everything has moderation. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we need to know where to start and where to stop. We need to know where to start and where to stop. You know, these things are heavy things because our will is very strong. We have very strong views. Do you understand the point? And sometimes it will only take God to break a person and to show a person. And a lot of us have not seen God yet.
Mm.
We come to church, we hear these things, but we have not known Him yet.
Mm.
But when you know God, God will take you, every aspect of your life, you understand? You will address, because you are a representation of a spirit.
Mm.
When you say masquerade in my place, you know who is His master.
Yes.
You understand that? He expresses that spirit.
Yes.
When you should see a priest, a native priest, you can always tell them.
That's right.
They look like the spirit that they serve.
That's right.
So whatever you look like
is the spirit you
is the spirit that you serve.
Whatever you look like,
because the Bible says, whatever spirit you serve, you become like it.
That's right.
What the Bible says.
That's right.
So we will also talk like the spirit that we serve.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you understand the point now? You see, words are not just, you know, that, you know, you use to express things. Words are spirits.
That's right.
Praise the name of the Lord. There is a purpose behind words. And we need to know how to use what now? Words. The things we speak, the discussions that we, you understand, get involved in. So, it's, you know, we are in fellowship, we are one thing. Outside, we are another thing. People relate with us without knowing exactly who we are and what to believe, because we speak the same word now, language with them. A Christian, God said He will give us a pure language. When you speak, people will ask you, who are you? Do you understand the point? When we begin to talk, they say, who are you?
Yeah.
They immediately they know that me and this person were not in the same league at all. Just like me and my friend, forever and ever, we're no longer, do you understand the point? Because this is a man who no longer, you know, he is not of this world anymore.
Yeah.
He has become, you understand, a spirit. He's been translated, and he knows it, and everybody around him knows it.
Yeah.
The same thing with us.
Yes.
The same thing with us, brethren.
Yes.
The God who has called us has a plan to make us a kingdom of priests, to be an example.
Yeah.
People should be copying us, brethren, not us copying them.
Yes.
That is who we are.
That's right.
The world should come and learn how to dress from us.
That's right.
They should come and learn how to talk from us.
Yes.
Husbands should come and learn how to treat their wives from us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Wives should come and learn how to submit to their husbands from us.
That's right.
They should come and see our children and learn how children should
behave.
Yes. That is it, brethren.
That is it.
You know, Israel, know why God was angry with Israel? Israel was supposed to be an example to the nation, and they ended up copying the nation. Copying them. And he said, when he saw it had lost his savour, what use is it? What good is it, brethren? What good is the salt? It is only going to be cast out. I pray tonight, brethren, that the purpose of this gathering be not lost. If there's one thing you are to go home with, is that you have a choice to make.
That's right.
And brethren, if the clock tolls for you, like we were saying last night, at this point in time, is this what you want to be permanently?
Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. Is this what you want to be forever and ever? What you are now? If no is the answer, then you need to make a move. Hallelujah. You need to do like somebody who really wants change. Like Jesus asked the man, do you actually want to be healed? That was the question. Do you actually want to be healed?
John 8.
John chapter 4.
John 5.
Do you actually? Do you understand the question? The Lord was looking into the heart of this man and asking him a very, do you actually want? Friends, think about it.
Yes.
Paralyzed for 38 years. I mean, it's assumed that this man would be in a hurry. But Jesus asked him that question. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, there was the challenge there was that for 38 years, Israel wondered. You know why they were wondering? So that the men of war would die. You understand? They had to wonder so that all those men of war will do what now? Die out. We have certain capacities in us to make war. You understand the point? That sometimes we contend. Even things we shouldn't fight about. You understand the point? We fight about them. It's a warlike spirit. And brethren, these things must die out. You know, Jesus left that man. You know, God deliberately left him for 38 years. Do you understand that? For him to come to a position where he will actually want God. We want many things about God, but we don't want God. Because when God comes, he changes things. And sometimes we're not very comfortable with the changes that God will bring. I have hobbies. Do you understand that? I have hobbies I don't want to give up. Are you getting my point? Things that appeal to us, we enjoy them. They are part of what gives us pleasure. And in our heart, you know, Chukwuka was talking about subconscious. You understand? Deep realms. You know, sometimes there was a man who was a criminal. He became born again. But, you know, he was actually, sometimes he would just go to steal so that they will arrest him and put him in prison. In fact, one policeman told him that, and he was shocked. Consciously, he had never talked like that. But his subconscious, that was exactly what was. In fact, the moment they arrest him, he will relax. Because he was much more comfortable inside the prison than outside the prison. The minute he arrives there, he feels, I am home. Do you understand the book? I'll give you the book to read. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, the man was, he had adjusted to life in prison. When he comes out, he can't walk. He doesn't know how to labor. So the free food in prison, and when in prison, he was making deals. So he found something, he'll just go out, you know, to rob a bank, knowing that they are going to catch him. So he did not want to be free. And when he's in prison, he wants to escape. When he escapes, he wants to be arrested and brought back. So he was just, his life was just like that. And really, a lot of our lives are operating like that. But God is asking us that question. Do you honestly want God to change your lifestyle? Would you be comfortable if God comes and begins to turn things, what now, upside down? Say, stop this, stop that. Will you be comfortable? Now, that's why a lot of our prayers have not been what now? Answered. Oh, Lord, change my life. Lord, change me. Oh, change me. We've been praying for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. God says, do you really mean what you are saying? So it's time to go down to the subconscious. Ask God, Lord, search me. Do you understand that? I want to know what is really in my heart. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to hallelujah go this way, but I believe that God is really concerned about us. Hallelujah. That dream shows me some level of concern. And brethren, I believe that we need to pray about this matter. But I'm taking so much of your time. But I think we can get into praying. And we need to ask God to really, you know, open up our heart. If God wants to change us, there is not, that commitment to change us is never lacking on the part of God. There's something within us that has kept that change from coming. And I think that God wants to get down to the root of that matter. And if so that the new change can begin to come. We learned here that God is Alpha. And what now? Omega. When he begins a thing, he intends to finish it. There was something I didn't mention when I was talking about, you know, creation. He said, Genesis chapter 2, he said that the thing that God created and made. Remember that, you know, in the Hebrew, he said that God created to make. Do you understand? If you have your power Bible, check it out. Genesis 2, I think 2-2, that the things that God created and made. But the Hebrew rendering, major rendering says, created to make. In other words, he initiated it with an intention to finish it. God wants to finish what he started. But you have a path. Hallelujah. I have a path. That's the mystery of man. That you will go, God will go as far as you allow him to go. That's the principle of behold, I stand at the door and what now? And knock. Do you understand that? He won't break the door. He can break it, but he will not. You have to open. Every door of your soul must be opened one by one before he can step in. And so if the door is still locked, it's because you and I have not yet what now opened that door. Praise the name of the Lord. So brethren, I just pray that we can open up our hearts. Hallelujah. Every one of us has a need here. I hope you understand that each single person, that dream is for every everyone in this room. So you have to find out how that dream was now applies to you. I have to find out how it was now. It's not like saying, oh, it's for some people. It's for everyone. Everyone. I'm standing here just to express, you know, the burden the Lord put on my heart. But I have a need to praise the name of the Lord. You know, so as we pray, you know, let's just focus on ourselves. You know, what areas does God really want to intervene and get into in my life? I believe that if I really sincerely open up to Him, something will happen in my life. You begin to see God as a God of change. God has the power to change, brethren. He has been changing things, and He will change also. God bless you all.